Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah with the beautiful name Al-Muqsitu, a very important attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muqsit is translated as, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives you complete justice. Allah is the one who gives you complete justice. And muqsit comes from the root words qist. And qist means justice that is outwardly and also inwardly. Justice that is shown in your public life and also in your private life. Adl in the Arabic language means justice. But the word adl is used more for showing justice to your public engagement, something that is outwardly, not in your private life. And so when we look at the beautiful justice system in Islam, just to give you a few examples, that unfortunately we as Muslims, we don't have enough knowledge of our history, Islamic history. Otherwise, alhamdulillah, the most salient feature of this beautiful religion, Islam, is the justice system that Islam has given to everyone. If you look at Andalusia, Spain and Portugal, Muslims ruled Andalusia for approximately 800 years. That's a long, long time. 800 years. Even today, if you go to Spain and if you go to Portugal, when you see the indigenous population, their features are like the features of Arabs. And their diet and food is also like the food of the Arabs. They love olives, zaytun. Everything is cooked in zaytun, mashallah. And very nice individuals. If you go back and look at the Islamic era, the golden Islamic era, you will see that so many Jewish communities had migrated and had settled in that part of the world. So many Jewish people in Spain and also in parts of Portugal. And the reason for that was they felt more comfortable living under the Islamic banner than living with their own brethren. Really, living with their own brethren. This was the justice that Islam gave them. Even India, where we come from, that part, India, Pakistan, the Muslims ruled for approximately 1,000 years. But even today, no compulsion. Majority are still the Hindu community that is living there. Majority of them. And Muslims are a minority compared to them. The justice system of Islam is the most salient feature of Islam, if you look at history. And so the Jews were living there, and that is why during the Inquisition, this also affected the Jewish community. Muslims were tortured, persecuted, and at the same time even the Jewish community suffered, because they were very close to the Muslim community and enjoyed living as neighbors in that part of the world. And so you will find that there is a lot of propaganda now that if you have an Islamic Khilafat, then Islam does not accept tolerance. Islam does not accept tolerance of any other faith. This is wrong. Very wrong. In fact, Islam accepts every other faith. Islam has given insan the choice. And this world that we live in is a place of test. It is up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whether you want to be Muslims or whether you choose kufr, that is up to you. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. For you people is your faith, your religion, and for us is Islam. If you choose to live and worship something else other than Allah, that is up to you. And Islam gives them that freedom. Islam gives them that freedom. So if you study the ayats of Surah Hajj, very beautiful verses of the Quran, and this will tell you human rights, freedom of religion, tolerance in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in verse 39, Allah says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. For the very first time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given permission to the Muslimin that this time now you can stand up and fight. Fight in defending your faith. Fight in defending your faith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Makkah Mukarrama, and before Hijrat there was a very strong group of Muslims already that were in Makkah, and they were enough to challenge the people of Makkah who were the mushrikeen and to fight them. And they would come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would say to him, O Nabi of Allah, let us fight the mushrikeen, because we are not given that freedom to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. The only option he gave them whilst in the city of Makkah is that do hijrat, go and migrate. Go elsewhere, go to Abyssinia. And then from Abyssinia slowly groups were moving towards Yathrib, Madinatul Munawwara. But he did not opt for picking up arms or showing any kind of aggression to the people of Makkah. Not at all. Because he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and when he was in Medina, the kuffar, mushrikeen of Makkah, were jealous. That how is it possible for the Muslims to live in Medina peacefully, and so much support is given to them by the Ansar, and the Muhajireen have gone there, and slowly they have settled in that region in Madinatul Munawwara. Again, hasad, jealousy. So they would mobilize an army, a very strong army, with the intention to launch an attack to the city of Medina Munawwara. So the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, all the ghazawat were not in the city of Makkah. Everything was around Madinatul Munawwara. Only then in defense this ayat was revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Muslims, Udhina lilladhina yuqatalun. Now those that are doing qital with you, fighting with you, that they come all the way from Makkah to your doorstep to fight you, now it is your duty that you should also stand up and defend your city. Why? Because they had no rights. You left everything and you came and to a different alien territory, completely new for the people of Makkah. And it was even difficult for them to get used to that environment, that climate. Makkah Mukarramah is different and Madinatul Munawwara was very different. In the beginning, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, they became ill and felt that they were not comfortable in that environment. And then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time gave ijazat. أُذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a reason. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. The only reason they came from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara is because they were expelled from their homes for saying that our Lord is Allah. أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. The only thing was that they said that our Lord is Allah. So they were forced in Makkah Mukarrama. They were forced to leave because they said Allah is our Lord. And so they did hijrat. And from this ayat kareema, the fuqaha say that if you are living in a country in which you are prevented from your basic rights of Islam, where you can't freely perform your prayers or give zakat or perform hajj or your fasting, or things become very, very difficult for you, then the best option would be for a person to do hijrat, migration. What should they do? Migration. Best option. To migrate. And to move elsewhere where you can worship your Lord and practice your religion. And so this is what Sahaba did. They went to Madinatul Munawwara. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this permission to people. If this permission was not given, what would happen? لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ. Now imagine in the Quran, in the Bible you will not find the name of a masjid. Will you find it? Will you find in the Bible masjid? You won't. Maybe something like a place of worship, something like that. But the Quran actually says that the reason Allah has given permission for certain groups to stand up and to fight zulm, aggression, is so that protection can be given to monasteries. Sawami', monasteries. Bi'ah means churches. What is it? Christian places of worship. Protection is given to the churches in the Quran, in Surah Hajj. Salawat, the Jewish place of worship, which is a synagogue. And then Allah says at the end, Masajid, Masjid, in which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken abundantly. وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. And Allah will only help you if you help also Allah Pak. Allah will help you if you help also Allah Pak. And so this concept of just saying, we just should become just completely pious and things will change and Jibreel alayhi salam will come. By then, what was the need for Huzur alayhi salam to go for the battle of Badr? Or for him just to go for the battle of Uhud? So Islam teaches you to be also practical. You have to see, if there is zulm, then there is an option. An option for a person that you can migrate. You can migrate and go to a place where you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. But here, look at the protection that Islam gives to the places of worship. You know, a lot of the times you will find people saying that in Islam, if you have the Islamic Khilafat, then the Christians would not have any rights. The Jews would not have any rights. The other communities, the non-Muslim communities would have no rights. This is wrong, this is false. The Quran is protecting every brick of their places of worship. Every brick is protected. That is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he entered Jerusalem, the priest said, come and perform your prayers here. It's a famous story, we all know of it. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, no, if I pray two rakats namaz here, later on people will say that this is a masjid because Umar had put his forehead down. Umar performed two rakats and this is a masjid. And so look at the justice system in Islam. In Islam, of course, if you choose Islam, that is khair, that is very good. But if you don't, that is entirely up to you. You can do whatever you want. If you wish to be someone who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then dunya is darul imtihan, then that is with you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayat to whom He wills. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, his khadim, a man who was very close to him, his slave, he was a Christian slave and his name was Astiq. What was his name? Astiq. Was a Christian man. But close to Hazrat Umar, very nice young man who served Hazrat Umar all the time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, at every given opportunity, said to him, Astiq, it would be nice if you become a Muslim. It would be nice if you become a Muslim. It would be nice if you become a Muslim. I am your well-wisher. The only reason I am saying you should become a Muslim is that so that you can enjoy Jannat. You can enjoy paradise. Islam is the only religion that has all the prophets, accepts all the prophets. What a beautiful religion this is. Accept Islam. And Astiq would listen and listen and listen. And then one day he said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat, can you stop now? I just want to remain as a Christian. Can you stop now? I just want to remain. Imagine speaking to Hazrat Umar. Can you stop now? I just want to remain as a Christian. Hazrat Umar got angry? No. Did he get angry? No. Because hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu. Hidayat is with Allah. He gives hidayat. That freedom is given in Islam. The Quran talks about it. And so what happened? Hazrat Umar smiled at him and he said, "Theek, theek, theek." And he said, "La ikraha fid deen, la ikraha fid deen." There is no compulsion in deen. There is no force in Islam. There is no compulsion in deen. There is no compulsion in deen. Allahu Akbar. That is why nowadays, I say to Avi Suleiman Sahib, when somebody accepts Islam, I want you to do a recording of it. I want you to do a recording of it. Because we live in a very difficult world. We live in a world where anybody can accuse anybody. Tomorrow somebody might accuse the Maulana that, Maulana Sahib, you are forcing people to become Muslim. That you are forcing people to become Muslim. No, 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 bhai. We can use technology to our benefits. And we say, no, no, look at his face. There is no face, this is a recording. Allah gives hidayat to whom He wills. This man is free and reading the kalima without any kind of compulsion. Without any kind of compulsion. There is no such thing as force in Islam. So Islam means justice. Islam means to promote justice. And why were non-Muslims eager to live under the Islamic Khilafat? Because Islam is that religion that gives every human being three rights. How many rights? Three rights. Number one, your life is protected. Your life is protected. It's a crime. It is the greatest sin. It is gunahe kabira, a major sin for a person to kill anyone, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim. And that is why the Quran says that you take one life, it is like taking all humanity out, killing everyone. One, if you kill someone, it's like killing everyone, all of humanity. Unless, of course, it is qisas, or there is a reason. And this also needs to be processed by the proper trial system, the courts, only then. Otherwise it is not jais whatsoever. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah will be, imagine what he said. He said, a man will be killed and he won't even know why they killed him for. What was the reason? And the qatil, the maqtul, the one who is killed, will not know why he is killed. What is the reason? By walking and somebody shoots you. You know, you're somewhere and somebody stabs you. What for? Boy, what did I do? What's happening? I've never been here. You know, I've got no relationship with you. Somebody decides to kill you. These are signs of the day of Qiyamah. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, qatil, the one who kills, the killer, he won't even know what are my motives. Why did I want to kill him for? Why did I kill him for? What is the reason? He won't know. And this will be very prevalent close to the day of Qiyamah. This is what we are seeing, my respected brothers. Allahu Akbar. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, your life is protected, be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim. And your properties are protected. And the newspapers can't make a mockery out of you. Your honor is also protected. Your honor is also protected in the Islamic Khilafah. Nobody can mess or make any remarks of any community or mock a community. It would not be right. Not at all. This is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in Surah Al-Hujurat also. And so this is the reason. And according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, a Muslim government, they cannot even expropriate anything from their citizens to take any property that belongs to the citizen of that country would not be jais. You see, sometimes when a revolution takes place, people have been living there for 7-8 generations, and then somebody will come knock at the door. He might even want to kill everybody at home and say, right, this is my property, now get out. In Islam, you can't do that. In the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa, it is not permissible. It is said that in Kufa, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, a masjid, Jamia Masjid, was built in Kufa. And so the masjid was built. After a few years, a Zimmi man came and he put a case against the masjid being built, the Jamia Masjid being built. And he said that one section of the wall of this masjid is in my land. This land belongs to me and I've got witnesses. And so Zimmi means the non-Muslim community that lives in the Islamic Khilafat. And what they do is that they pay tax. So their tax is jizya. Their tax is jizya. And Muslims, they will give zakat. So Muslims give zakat, and the non-Muslims, because zakat is not farz, so in order for them to be equal with the Muslims as citizens, in Islam they have to give jizya. So they give jizya. So he is now equal in everything. So his honor is protected like the honor of a Muslim. The properties are protected like the properties of a Muslim. Everything is protected. So he came and he said, well, this one wall belongs to me, and in a sense it's my land. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an looked into this matter, and it was decided that what he is saying is the truth. We didn't realize, but the Jamia Masjid, one section is towards his land. And for that, Hazrat Umar said, we give you a choice. And he says, I agree to a payment as compensation. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and gave him, a Zimmi, non-Muslim community, a payment and compensated for that. This is the justice system in Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and also once when he was sitting, it is said a man from Syria came. And he was not a Muslim. And he came and he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, I have a complaint that when the Muslim army entered towards Sham, they came and they entered my plot of land and they trampled over my crops and my land has been spoiled. And I come here so that you look into my damages and pay me for my damages. Now, the Muslim army in an emergency could take any route they want. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala sent a few individuals there to have a look, to verify that land belongs to him, what date the Muslim army came, what had happened. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala agreed, subhanallah. Look at the justice system. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala paid him 10,000 dirhams. How many dirhams? 10,000 dirhams. In Sharia, you can't even arrest someone without a trial. You can't even do that. Now, there's no Guantanamo Bay and, you know, just keep somebody inside indefinitely for a long period of time. No. It has to be a proper trial. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a khutbah, a lecture, and a man stood up and he says, O Nabi of Allah, I want to know the reason why my neighbor has been arrested without a trial, without a proper trial. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped his khutbah for a few minutes and then he looked around at everybody in the masjid. He looked at everybody and then he continued his khutbah. After a few minutes, that man stood up again and he says, Hazrat, I want to know why my neighbor is arrested without a trial. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again stopped his khutbah for a few minutes. And it was completely silent in the masjid. And he looked at the people and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again started his khutbah. For the third time, he spoke out. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of them, go and release that person, his neighbor, and tell him he is free. Tell him he is free. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the muhaddiseen have explained, the reason is that the police officer who arrested the neighbor was sitting in the masjid, in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you don't have a private sort of trials in Islam, private trials in Islam. It should be in the open. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him an opportunity that you are sitting here, stand up and answer him why you arrested the neighbor. What is the reason? And he couldn't defend his case. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even want to embarrass him. And so saw that police officer to be there in the masjid. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you are free to go. This is the justice system in Islam, Allahu Akbar. All of these questions that are put forward to us, there is an answer. Why two witnesses when it comes to a woman and one witness for a man? Why a greater portion is given to a man in inheritance and a bit less to the daughter? Everything, alhamdulillah, is logically explained. If we look into the laws of this country even and compare that when it comes to inheritance to what Islam has given, Allahu Akbar, you can see the justice system that is there. A lady, a woman is given every right. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was doing mashwara and he decided with the shura that we should fix a price for dowry. We should fix a price for dowry, for mahar. Some people are very kanjus. 30 pounds they give to a lady. Allahu Akbar. Kanjus ki bhi had hoti hai, bhai. And they ask me, Mauli sahab, what's the minimum we can give? And I look at them. So I'll give you my pagri. Kanjus. If this is your attitude now, what are you going to look after this lady? What can you give this lady? When you are wanting to give her 31 pounds, 41 pounds, what is this? Huh? Ye kya hai? And the cheap way out is going to India now and getting married. You know, just India rupees currency is also cheap. Subhanallah. And so Khair Hazrat Umar said that, you know, let us put the figure down a bit so that it's easy for everyone to marry. So alhamdulillah, in this country, Allah has blessed people. Well, 30 pounds is very less. Give something that when we go for When we go for shopping, sometimes it is £80. One full tank of your car is £60, £50. When we go out to eat in the restaurant, it is £50, £60. You buy something now, it's that much. And so you're doing nikah, at least, mashallah, give good hadiyah. Give hadiyah that she is happy. When you give a gift, give something that he gives you dua. That he gives you dua. Give something that is good. Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, this was his sunnah. He gave, when he gave, he gave. This man came, he said, Hazrat, you know, you don't distribute equally. Hazrat Nabiye Kareem, one man, Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam said, go outside towards Makkah Mukarramah, all the animals in that valley, thousands of them, all the goats belong to you, it's a gift to you. He said, Hazrat, every single animal, Huzur alayhi salam said, every single animal is yours. This man went, Allah's Nabi gave him goats, this man brought his entire tribe and all the neighboring tribes, and all of them came and they embraced Islam. All of them embraced Islam. Subhanallah al-Azim, Allahu Akbar Kabira. So Hazrat Umar was going to put the figure down. Now, look at the rights of women. Look at the rights of women. 1/3 of Islam that we receive is from a woman. 1/3 of Islam we receive is from a woman. 1/3, Hazrat Aisha. 1/3. She came and she says, Amirul Mu'mineen, I hear that you are putting the figure down for dowry and making it less. What right have you got to make this figure less? When the Quran says qintaran, when the Quran says qintaran, and qintar means when you give gold to ladies for dowry, and a gold means a good amount. So here Allah is saying qintar, and you want to reduce it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an did not even argue, and he says, alhamdulillah, there are also women in this ummah that give guidance to Amirul Mu'minin Umar ibn al-Khattab, and I accept your mashwira, and what you are saying is right. Women rights. Allahu Akbar. And then the following few days, it was Jumu'ah, Hazrat Umar sat on the pulpit and he said that, you know, if you see me inclining towards dunya, what will you people do? And sometimes you get the Bedouins, you know, when they come and they don't know how to speak. So one Bedouin stood up, he said, huh, you incline towards dunya, and he took out his sword. I will cut off your head. I will cut off your, saying to who? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to him, is this how you speak to your Amir? Is this how you speak to your Amir? And he said, yes. He said, yes. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, alhamdulillah, they are people as brave as this young man who is prepared to even kill Umar ibn al-Khattab if he goes the wrong way. But look at the freedom that was given. Subhanallah. Huzur alayhi salam gave freedom. Boys, girls, young children, ladies could come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would speak. This lady came to Hazrat Umar. Bas, I'm going to finish inshallah very soon. This lady came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and she said, Hazrat, I am a slave lady, woman, and my master has punished me by burning certain parts of my body. And the reason for that, he accuses me of zina, fornication. There is no proof, but he thinks that I have done zina, and he punished me. And I come to you for justice. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to this lady in Parda, that tell me that, have you done zina? What he said to you, is it the truth? And she said, no, I have done no zina. Then Hazrat said that, have you made any kind of confession to him? And she said, no. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, fine. And then the master was brought to the court of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said to him, have you no fear of Allah that now you start punishing people with that punishment which is only reserved for Allah? It is only Allah that can burn, because Jahannam is fire. But now you are using fire. Now you are using fire. You have no shame. And he says, Hazrat, I have my doubts. Hazrat Umar said, you doubt her, that is not good enough. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and gave him a punishment of 100 lashes, and thereafter said to the lady, you are free from this man. You are free from this man. This was the justice system in Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was sitting. We know, if we talk about Hazrat Abu Bakr, talk about the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajib, subhanallah. Two men had dragged this young boy into the courthouse of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would sit at one time in a room, and that was the courtroom of Hazrat Umar. And anybody had any kind of a problem, a case, they would come to him directly. Hazrat was sitting, and this young boy was pushed in the room, dragged by two individuals. And they said, Amirul Mu'mineen, this young boy has killed our father. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, leave him. And so Hazrat Umar asked that young boy, my son, is it true what they say, that you have killed the father? So this young boy, he said, Hazrat, yes, I have killed the father, but it was an accident, unintentionally. When I say young boy, he is mature, of course, maybe in his early 20s, not as, you know, 11, 12 or 13 years of age. And so he said, Hazrat, yes, but it was an accident. So what had happened is that my camel got out of control, and my camel then entered their garden and had sort of damaged their garden and the plot they had. So the father was an old man, and he got very angry, and he picked up this huge rock and he threw it to my camel, and I am the owner of one camel only. And it hit the head and it caused injury to the eye of the camel, and the camel was suffering, and it was screaming, and there was so much pain that was given to my camel, and I am very fond of my camel. I also got very angry, and I picked up a stone and I threw it at the direction of the father, not realizing that it will hit him to the head, and it hit him on the head and the father died. It was an accident. There was no intention. My aim was just to hit him, but not to kill him. This was not my intention. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and looked at him and said to the two brothers that were there, that look, it was an accident. Will you take compensation? Will you take blood money, compensation? And the two boys said, no, our father has passed away, has been killed. We want him to be killed also. And so Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, think about it. And they said, no, there is no thinking. We don't want any compensation. We want qisas. This is what we want. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, have you got anything to say to that boy? So that boy said, Hazrat, I am fine to accept whatever justice you put in front of me. However, my father has passed away and I have a younger brother. And before my father passed away from this dunya, he gave me some money, and it is a good amount. And in those days people would hide the money, and he said that only I know where I have hidden that amount of gold that my father gave me. And if I die, it is of no use to anyone. Let me go, and it's 3 days away from Medina Munawwara. That location is 3 days away from Medina Munawwara. I will get the money and give it to my brother so that he benefits, and then you can do whatever you want. Qisas is there for me. Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala answered, maybe this young boy wants to save himself and save his skin. So Hazrat said, what money, what father, what traveling you want to do? What are you talking about? And he says, Hazrat, wallahi, I am telling you the truth. We have money and I have to give it to my younger brother so it benefits him. And then I will come back. Give me 3 days. And this is my promise. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, I am prepared to give you 3 days. If there is someone in the Muslim community who becomes your guarantor, that he gives me the guarantee that you will come back in 3 days. Because if you don't come back in 3 days, then it is his neck that will be chopped. So he looked around in the courtroom and everybody was there, and this young boy, they said, is there anyone there who is there to help me? Can anybody support me for this? Will anybody be a guarantor for me? And everybody was looking down, looking down, looking down. And he looked at everybody. I just need 3 days. It's my promise. And so a man lifted up his hands. And that man was Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari, radiallahu ta'ala, a great da'i of this ummah. So Hazrat Umar knew that this man is a senior sahabi. So Hazrat Umar said to him, Abu Dharr, you know what you are doing? If you become the guarantor, the liability, everything is on you. Are you sure? And he said to Hazrat Umar, I accept everything. Whatever punishment there is, I also accept. Give him 3 days. Hazrat Umar said that in 3 days before Maghrib, you have to be here. So the two brothers also agreed. So now this boy immediately left Madinatul Munawwara and he went. One day passed by, people were waiting, they knew of this case. Abu Dharr Ghifari has said, I will take the blame. Everybody is talk of the town, people are talking about this. One day goes by, nobody comes. The second day goes past, nobody comes. The third day, it is Zuhr Salah. And the two brothers are talking now, let us go to Abu Dharr Ghifari and bring him to the courtroom. So they went to Abu Dharr Ghifari and said that there is no information of that man, of that young boy. It is nearly Asr. And so they said, that young, Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari said, the time is till Maghrib. I will come before Maghrib. You go. Subhanallah, everyone in Madinatul Munawwara is actually waiting to see what happens. Allah Kishan, just a few minutes before Maghrib Salah, they see this young boy running and coming and entering Madinatul Munawwara. Everybody got happy. At least this young boy is here, and Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an does not need to take any kind of liability punishment. So he came after Salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was there and said to the boy that, have you sorted everything out? He says, yes, I've given the money to my brother and I am here. 3 days, Hazrat, look, I am here. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said to him, young man, I gave you complete freedom to go. Nobody was behind you. And you could run away in any direction that you wanted to. Why did you return back? So he looked at Amirul Mu'mineen and he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, I don't want history to say that a man promised Umar ibn al-Khattab and he did not keep his word. A man promised Umar ibn al-Khattab and he did not keep his word. I can give my life, but to break a promise would be difficult for me. Hazrat Umar looked down. And Hazrat Umar said to Abu Dharr Ghifari, Abu Dharr, you tell me, why were you prepared to take so much responsibility of someone that you don't know? So Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari said, Amirul Mu'mineen, I got scared on the day of Qiyamah. What face will I show to Allah? That there was a Muslim brother who was in need and there is no one there to help him. There is no one there to help him. And for the sake of Allah, I raised my hand that on the day of Qiyamah, if I was to be questioned, or if the people were to be questioned, that there is a Muslim man who was in need and no one assisted him, what face will we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why I raised my hand as farz-e kifaya from the entire community, and I said, I take the responsibility. How is it that a Muslim is in need and I am not there to support him? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an looked down. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an turned his face and looked at the two boys. And this is the karamat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hazrat Umar looked at the two brothers and said, what do you have to say? So the two brothers said, Hazrat, what face will we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Allah is to ask us that there was a young man who did something accidentally, unintentionally, and he is asking your forgiveness, that you forgive him, and he is prepared to pay you, and we were not prepared to accept his forgiveness? What face will we show Allah We also, for the pleasure of Allah, forgive him without compensation. This is the justice system in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muqsit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers, that we understand our history and we understand who we are and we maintain good character all the time. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, if you read the muraqabah, inshallah, close your eyes and purify the heart. Think of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. And whilst the heart is thinking of Allah, there is no access for shaitan to take control of the heart. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.